Good morning, and welcome to the South Fayette Church of Christ. To those of you who are visiting, we want you to know that we are excited that you've decided to come and worship with us here in spirit and in truth. And from our hearts to yours, we want you to know that we are glad that you are here. And it is our prayer and our mission to see you again. To the saints here at the South Fayette Church of Christ, let us remember to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. What that means for us is to continue to have a love as Christ loved us for one another. Let us continue to have a zeal and a desire and a thirst for God's word. And having a mind to work as we strive on this time side of life to become better men and women of God. And I want you to know that no matter what, I love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. Today is the first Sunday of the month, and we are bringing lessons from our 2022 theme titled, A Mind to Work. Did you come this morning with a mind to work for God? Because if you did, I want you to know that you are in the right place. There is much work to do in God's kingdom. Amen? So the lesson title for this morning is The Unity of Teamwork. The Unity of Teamwork. It is my true belief that unity is the power to achieve success anywhere, any place, at any time. But it is the teamwork, the collaboration that combines the individual efforts of a team to achieve a common goal or work. The Lord's church is made up of many, many remarkable people with various cultural backgrounds, individual personalities, and with varying character traits. But cultural and individual diversity in the church need not to prelude gospel unity and teamwork. The power of the church for good in this world today depends upon the extent to which the members observe this very important principle. And that principle is unity. Unity in the body is the result of two very important ingredients coming together. Unity is created when people care about their team's goals. That goal is that of the church. Secondly, a unity is created when people care about their teammates, your brothers and your sisters in Christ. So I want you to know that the two ingredients that I'm talking about is all you need. You don't need any salt. You don't need any pepper. You don't need any milk. You don't need any cream. You just need these two important ingredients. I want you to know, as a matter of fact, that unity is so important that Jesus prayed for it. Over in John chapter 17, looking at verses 21 through 23, the infallible word of God reads that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one. So that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Since the ultimate goal for God's people is trophies. The ultimate goal for God's people is accolades. The ultimate goal for God's people is to be great, to have the best houses, the best cars, correct? No. The ultimate goal for God's people is simply heaven. And you ask yourself, well, if I'm trying to get to heaven and we're supposed to be a team, who are my teammates? Well, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to look to the person next to you, the person on the left or the right, and say, hi, teammate. Yeah, yeah. Because we are here to help one another get to heaven. That's so important for us to understand. If you have given your life to Christ through baptism, and you are serving the Lord faithfully, daily, fervently, you are on the winning team, and we are teammates. I was talking to a brother before we came up. He told me, he said, when Keith asked you about who was the greatest, you shook your head, because that was a discussion that can go on forever about who is the greatest when we're talking about sports. But what he did say is, quite often Shaq says, let's not talk about the individual, who's the greatest individual, but who was the greatest team. I want you to know this morning that those of you who are in Christ, who have given your life to him, you are on the greatest team ever assembled. Amen? And it is up to God's people to spread the gospel, and it requires all of us working together so that we can go forth into the world and tell them who our God is, what Christ has done for us, and what he continues to do for us every single day. We need to be mindful. Like a single study rope that we are woven together by thousands of individual fibers. There is power found in God's people who are working together. And it is the only way to unify the body of Christ. And it is for us to learn the will of the Lord. And when we do, we have to be just like Nike and do it. I want you to know, despite what many people may have said about the church, I love working with others in the body of Christ. Don't you? When you think about what the end goal is, for me, it gives me, and it also gives you a chance to really get to know your fellow workers and teammates, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh, come on. Y'all act like y'all don't remember how we used to go to the park and we get together and we throw the footballs and the kids are there and we eat good and we spend time with one another. We come up with ways that we can continue to evangelize. We come up with new ways to continue to spread God's word. When we used to come together and we had singings, y'all remember how good that felt? How it made you remember that this is what it was all about? That's what it is. I heard someone say it like this. What we are doing now in this life is a dress rehearsal for heaven. I want you to think about that. The way you conduct yourself, the way that you're living, if you're faithful and you're doing the things that you're supposed to do, you're spreading the gospel, you have taken on the Great Commission as a personal thing that you must do. That is a dress rehearsal for heaven. But I also want you to know that the same can be said about those who aren't busy working and doing what they're supposed to do. It can be a dress rehearsal for hell. We are to be busy working and not just waiting on the Lord's return. You'd be surprised how many people are just waiting on the Lord to come back, not doing anything, not working in the church, not spreading the gospel truth, not spreading God's love, not teaching those the truth, not refuting false doctrine. They're just sitting back waiting on the Lord to return. But what we should be doing is working until the Lord returns. See, family, when the church has a mind to work, it's like a beautiful symphony where all the notes are joined together to create a beautiful melody. Have you ever watched a colony of ants? Anybody? Have you ever just watched them? I want you to know that ants are busy working. You ever seen them? They just move back and forth, back and forth. They're here and there. I mean, it's fascinating. I mean, when you really look at it, the way that they're moving from place to place, it really looks like, from a distance, a lot of chaos. You got ants on top of each other. Ants going this way, here, here, there, there. One carrying this, one carrying that. Some carrying something heavy, some aren't. They're all looking like it's just a bunch of chaos. But I want you to know, despite what it looks like, they are getting the job done with great purpose. Each ant member has a role to play in the colony or team. I want you to think about this. And each colony can't survive very well without its leader, which is the queen. They all have a role, and their role is essential to them being successful and living a long life, according to the team. When I looked at this and I was looking at those ants, I thought to myself, it's the same way in the body of Christ. King Jesus is our leader. And as members of his kingdom, we each, as individuals, have a role. And every person in that kingdom, which is a member, should be busy fulfilling that role. Our theme reference of scripture for a mind to work is Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6. And it says, so we built the wall. And all the wall was joined together to the half its height. For the people had a mind to work. It amazes me that there are ants that have more of a mind to work than God's people. Ants will work day. They will work night. They will pull 10 times their weight. They will do whatever they need to do to get the job done. And here we have people in God's kingdom who has a God that loves them, the creator of all things, Jesus the Christ, who loved them, who died for them, giving them an opportunity of everlasting life. The Holy Spirit which guides them through the word, not separate and apart. And we act like we can't come together to get God's work done. Back in Nehemiah chapter 1 through 4, we saw Nehemiah. He was a man of prayer. He was a man of good leadership. And he demonstrated that leadership in action as he inspired the people of Jerusalem to work together. We have to be inspired to work together to get God's work done while we're here on this time side of life. It took a team to rebuild the city. I was thinking about over in chapter 3, the Bible lists all the people and the portions of the city that were restored simply because they had a mind to work and they understood what teamwork was all about. I think great followers work side by side with other followers. No one, and I mean no one, is sitting on the sidelines. When everybody is working, when everybody is in tune, when everybody understands the end goal, you get results. I think in total there were 10 different gates mentioned in repairing the wall. And since breaking down a gate was easier than destroying a piece of wall, areas around the gates needed special repair and reinforcement. Just like there are special areas in God's kingdom that need reinforcements, that need some help, that need some readjusting, to need some reviving in order for us to get God's work done. The one thing in this chapter that stands out, though, to me, is the frequent expression, next to. Can you imagine how encouraging this must have been when you knew and you have without a shadow of a doubt in your heart that you could depend on your brothers and sisters when it comes to getting God's work done? There's nothing like it. Let me tell you something. Last Sunday, I was excited. And the Sunday before that, I was excited. And the Sunday before that, I was excited because we come together in this place seeing and knowing everything that we've been through, seeing our young men, our young people coming up, standing up, men coming in, willing to work now, saying, hey, put me in. I'm willing to work. Hey, I'm willing to teach. I'm willing to help out wherever. I see young men. You got the young brothers who are newlyweds. Could be more excuses than ever, but they're here working. They're here working because they have a mind. And there's nothing like having brothers and sisters who come together to get God's work done. You know, each one of those who were working together, you had men, you had women, you had artisans and laborers and princes and commoners. They all labored side by side. It wasn't about what you had, where you come from, about how educated you were. They understood what needed to be done. And each one was focused on the task that was given to them. Saints, we've been given a task. We have been given a task to preach and teach God's word. We've been given a task to continue to tell others about Christ, to tell others about how good God is. But you know what it shows us more than anything? It shows us how a great magnitude of things can be accomplished even when they are in pieces, when everybody works together. And I want you to understand something. Not one person did it all. Let's be clear about that. It's not just one person who did everything, but everyone working side by side. So let me give you a case in point. It's not just the elders who do all the work. It's not just the deacons who do all the work. It's not just the elders, the deacon, and the preacher who does all the work. Everybody with their beliefs and understanding what God has given them as their talents, say there's work to be done. Over in Peter chapter 4, looking at verses 10 through 11. The infallible word of God says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. When I look at this, Peter was talking about the word gift in this passage, but he was speaking to the fact that each Christian is gifted in some way. And in that some way that we are gifted, we can serve God in his kingdom as fellow believers. Now stay with me. We are to use our gifts or gift that we have been given through God's Spirit. And since every Christian, I want you to hear this, is gifted with at least one gift, and no Christian is likely to have all the gifts, we must work together in order to fulfill God's will and get God's work done. Now let's look at a few things regarding unity and teamwork this morning, and the lesson will be yours. The first thing I want to look at is the Lord determined teamwork and unity. The Lord determined teamwork and unity. Turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll be looking at verses 11 through 16. It's Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. An infallible word of God reads, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love. We ought to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. here again, we see the desire of our Lord for us to work together as a team to accomplish His will. This is an extremely important truth for the church, right? Because for each individual member, teamwork is necessary if we're going to carry out God's work. In these verses, it says God gave some to do one job and He gave others to do another job. So that means everybody won't have exactly the same job to do. For one, we don't all have the same gift or gifts. So that means we can't do that which God has not equipped us to do. But we ought to never deny serving God where God has gifted us to serve. What do you think about that? Because a lot of people want to serve in places where that ain't your strong suit. Everybody don't need to preach. Everybody don't need to be an elder. Everybody don't need to be a deacon. But everybody can serve to some capacity where it is appropriate and helpful for the expansion of God's kingdom, His purpose, and His message. I want you to know that the term gift is represented by 9 words in the Greek New Testament. But they do have 3 different meanings. The first one is a gift, which can be a present. The second one can be an offering. And the third one is a gift that can be an endowment. So the gift here speaks of an endowment, right? That means that God has given or endowed upon us an ability or abilities to do work in His kingdom. The gift or gifts, I want you to understand, it's not ours, it's His. We talked about in Bible study this morning. For a lot of people, newsflash, is not about you. It's not about you. A lot of people make it about themselves. We need to begin by realizing that God desires us to work in unison and love for His entire plan involving granting gifts to us on the basis of His own strategies and intentions. And that is for us to share the gospel truth in love to every single person we have an opportunity to share it with. It's God's kingdom. The last time I checked, it's not your kingdom. A lot of people act like it's their kingdom, like the church belongs to them. It's not the kingdom of Chris. It ain't the kingdom of you. It ain't the kingdom of your family. It ain't the kingdom of who name on the deed of the church. It ain't the kingdom of that. But it is the kingdom of God. It is not ours. So it is our responsibility to use that which He has given us to aid us in fulfilling His will. I read a story somewhere. Let me show you how important working together is. I read a story somewhere where there were 2 men who were working side by side in the city. And a woman was sitting in a front porch in amazement, watching these 2 men work in the road. One man dug a hole, and the other man filled it. And then he dug another hole, and then the man came back and filled it. And then he dug another hole, and then he came back and filled it. They did this a few times, so the woman decided to walk down the street and say, "Pardon me, but one of you digs a hole, and the other one fills it up." And then she asks, "What exactly are you doing?" One of the men said, "Well, we are the city's beautification team. And we are out here to plant some trees to make our town look better." The lady said, "But you just dig holes and fill them up. There's nothing beautiful about this." The other man said, "Oh, I can explain. You see, one of us is the digger. And the other one is the filler. But the guy who's supposed to be here that puts the tree in the hole is out of work for some time." Our work in the church can be a lot like this. It's useless if we're not working together as a team for God's glory, right? You can begin a work And you can end up with those works that we're trying to do fizzing out simply because we don't have the whole team involved. Now, what sense does it make to go and see and it be beautiful that you see a hole that's filled with dirt but no beautiful flower, no beautiful tree in it? All you see is a hole filled with dirt. It doesn't look beautiful at all. But how beautiful does it look when all of us who are joined together with the gifts that we have are working with the same end goal in mind, with the same purpose of understanding this is about God, His purpose, His kingdom, and us being unified to get God's message out to the world. It's a beautiful thing. Amen. It's a beautiful thing. Someone wisely said this: if you don't think that teamwork is required for success, when you think about this, if you don't think teamwork is required for success, try driving a car with one of the wheels that's fallen off. Anybody try to drive a three-wheel car? How did that work out for you? You'd probably be going in circles. Right? Because you won't be able to just be leaning to one side and just going in circles. But that's how it ought to be. Teamwork is an essential thing for us to be successful. If not, we're just going around in circles, not getting anything done because everybody is not unified in understanding what it takes to get God's work done. Secondly, the Lord demands humility in teamwork. The Lord demands humility in teamwork. The Lord will never bless a work based on selfish ambition. It doesn't matter how talented we are. No matter how good I preach. No matter how good we sing. Doesn't matter how good the eldership is and the deacons work, right? If we have all these gifts, all these talent, and we aren't working together, we're only simply a haughty, self-centered work that exists here in Fayette County. We will never reach our full potential with everybody having their egos being stroked, when everybody wants to be a chief. You know, my grandmother used to say when everybody's in the house with her children, she says, it's too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Everybody wants to be the one to tell somebody what to do, but nobody's willing to serve. Nobody's willing to work and do the things that need to be done to get the job done. Over in Matthew chapter 18, looking at verses 2 through 4, this is when the disciples came to Jesus and asked him who was greatest in the kingdom. And the Bible states, and calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus demands of his followers humility. And that kind of humility will cause people to work together because you no longer think that it's about you. If God is using you, we must be sure that we recognize that it isn't about you. If God wants to use you to work in his kingdom, it's about bringing glory to God by working together for a common goal so that we can get God's message out. Let me tell you something. Is there any one of us present here today that's better than Jesus? Raise your hand right now. I want to see it. Upset my son. So many feel that they're better than one person or another. But I am here to tell you that it is our service to God that we are called upon to humble ourselves. We ought to humble ourselves and work for his cause and not your own. That's the problem. We continuously make it about us. That's what they were discussing. Who is the greatest? You know why? Because it's about me. It's not about God. It's not about his purpose. It's about me and what makes me look good. What makes me feel good. That's the problem. Everybody want to feel good. Everybody want to do something that makes them feel good. That's the reason why denominationalism is practiced in such wide practice today, because you want to feel good. I want to go somewhere where I can get a feeling. I want to feel good inside. I want to feel tingly. I want to leave because I want to have an experience. Instead of saying, I just want to do what my God has commanded me to do, and I will do that in love. That's all that matters. I've said it before and I said it again. God is not concerned about your happiness in the sense of what makes you happy. He is concerned about your obedience. And because of your obedience and because of you're willing to serve him, you will be happy because you have a God that is pleased with you. And anything you ask in his name, he'll take care of it. Jesus demonstrated that. Perfect example to us about teamwork and unity. This may sound strange to some, but I want you to know that Jesus was the perfect example of teamwork. Stay with me. In fact, the Father is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Son. And the Son is not the Father. But they all are God, and they work together in unity. See, throughout scriptures, we see them working together, not separate and apart. In John 10, Jesus shared something about his divine nature. The religious leaders were appalled, but note what Jesus said in John 10:30. I and my Father are one. Jesus is God, yes. He was a man while on earth, and he was so much man, it appeared that he was only man. Yet, he was God. And it seemed that he was so much God that he wasn't man. The truth is, he was both. He is God-man, but Jesus was subject to his Father while on earth in the flesh. He was equal to the Father in every single way. But our text tells us that he and the Father are one. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. We'll look at verses 5 through 11. Almost there. Hang on in there with me. We're almost there. Philippians 2. Let me slow down. 5 through 11. He says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do you see what the Bible says here? Jesus humbled himself and took upon himself a servant's nature to accomplish the divine task of redemption. He worked in cooperation with the Father by submitting to him, though he was equal to him. Now, this is a real picture of teamwork on a divine level, if you think about it, right? In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, "Let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." So in other words, he submitted his will to the Father to accomplish the task of providing redemption, even though it meant a horrible death on the cross. Unlike most of us, Christ understood the assignment. It wasn't about what he wanted. It wasn't about what he felt. It wasn't about what he was going to feel. He wasn't trying to figure out, well, if I do this or can I avoid that? He said, not mine, but yours be done. So what is the question should we be asking ourselves when it comes to being unified and working together with a mind to work to get God's message out and get his work done? Not my will, but your will. Not my feelings, but your will. Not my time, but your will. Not because I'm tired and I don't feel like it, but your will. Not because I don't like dealing with people, but your will. Not because I'm not a great speaker, but your will. Not because I don't deal well with young children, but your will. Not because I don't like dealing with old people because they smell funny, but your will. Not because I don't have time to go pick somebody up from church that need to get there, but they desire to go, but your will be done. The Lord delighted himself in teamwork. Over in Psalms 133, the Bible says, behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. This is Jesus speaking, right? It's like a precious oil on the head, running down on the head, on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord has commanded the blessings, life forevermore. Oil had a sanctified cleansing property, right? And whenever someone poured oil on someone or something, they had to set it apart as an object of being blessed of the Lord. So therefore, this example explains the reason why throughout the Old Testament they would anoint both people and objects, according to Genesis 28:18. And this was a common practice by the Israelites, anointing the heads of kings, and that's when Samuel was chosen. I need for you to understand that God delights in unity, which is why we should be people who work together in unison to do one simple thing, to accomplish God's work. Everybody in the body getting involved, us working together. I'm going to tell you what unity does. If you haven't figured it out, if somebody came in here and every single person, if there was a visitor in here and every single person came to that visitor, that includes your children, the young people, everybody say, hey, welcome to South Fair, we're glad you're here. Hey, welcome to South Fair, we're glad you're here. People are attracted to unity. You want to grow the work? They need to see that we are unified. They need to see we're willing to work and do whatever it takes for the expansion of God's kingdom and to do his will and his work. A group of Christians who practice teamwork has a chance to draw any and everybody to Christ. In conclusion, I want to leave you with this. We are never more like what we will be in heaven when we are working in humble submission to God and with each other with one heart. I'm going to leave you with this. I want you to listen to this. Who flies the kite? I, said the boy, it is my joy. I fly the kite. Who flies the kite? I, said the wind, it is my whim. I fly the kite. Who flies the kite? I, said the tail, I make it sail. I fly the kite. Who flies the kite? I, said the string, I am the thing. I fly the kite. Who flies the kite? All are wrong. All are right. All fly the kite. Let us, as God's people, join as workers for the Lord in teamwork, that in total cooperation and unity, we will be a part of making God's work fly. If you're here this morning and you are not a Christian, and you desire to put Christ on in baptism, to be a part of the greatest team that has ever been assembled. I know you may have thought that when you watched Avengers, and it said Avengers assembled, and all the Avengers was out there, that looked like, I mean, all the people in the movie theater was like, woohoo, yeah! But when you think about saying, let God's people assemble, and let's go to war on account of our God to save every single soul, to preach and teach the gospel message to every single person. And as a result, the heavens will rejoice. That's a team that I want to be assembled with and a part of. And you can do that today. You can be part of the greatest team. I'm talking about better than the Lakers, better than the Warriors, better than your best team or any team that you can think of in your mind. God's team is the greatest team to be a part of. And if you're here this morning, you want to be a part of it, don't hesitate. You ain't got to wait for us to start singing and standing. If that's a desire in your heart, you can come now. If you are a Christian and you've been struggling, you haven't had a mind to work, you've been that type of individual who has all types of excuses and reasons why you haven't done what you needed to do. Maybe you sinned publicly. Maybe you need the prayers of the church. Maybe you're going through something that you may feel like nobody understands. I'm here to tell you that God understands. I'm here to tell you that we'll walk with you. We'll pray with you. And one of my favorite things, for the people that I love, I'll even throw up with you. I'll cry with you. Whatever it takes for you to understand that you are loved by God. And so if you're here this morning and you are subject to the invitation, please come now as together we stand and we sing.